Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Ad Astra travelers, welcome to Tales of Teyvat.
Today, we're at Angel Share, and you may have noticed that we have a special guest with us today. We're joined by the one, the only, Paul Castro Jr., a.k.a. Fremen A.
Here in Teyvat, we know Paul as our favorite sad boy diver, Fremen A. But you may know Paul Castro from other roles like Allegro in Vampire in the Garden, Ryan in the short Knives, and Ryuta Miyagi in the animated film The First Slam Dunk.
Looking for the perfect cure for your loneliness syndrome? Well, join us over on our website. It's talesoftevat.com, where there's a lovely page dedicated to every episode that we do, curated by the wonderful Tiff.
On our site, you'll also find links to our past seasons and special episodes, artist spotlights from the community for every episode, including this one, wallpapers to download, and then all of the links where you can find Paul Castro outside of this podcast.
Finally, if you like Paul and you want more Paul or more of anything else, feel free to email us at talesoftevatpod@gmail.com. While we can't guarantee more Paul, maybe we can guarantee more Fremen A. You could also follow us on Instagram, Tales of Teyvat Pod, or Twitter, Tales of Teyvat, to let us know what you think of this week's episode and more. But Paul, let's just jump right into it. We have a ton of questions and we don't want to keep you all day here at the tavern. So we've listened to your podcast, we've watched a lot of your videos, we play as Fremen A, and we know that prior to getting casted as Fremen A, you actually found Genshin, like most of us, during the pandemic. What originally drew you to Genshin Impact?
That is correct. I am just like me, as they say. But no, I was I was a huge fan of Breath of the Wild. And I'm a huge Zelda fan. And I saw, I don't know if it was like either an article or a video of somebody like talking about the game. And I saw like, you know, basically anime designs in a Breath of the Wild type of world, open world experience. And I was like, that is all of my loves in one. And I remember it was like, you know, it was only the Mondstadt characters at that time. So someone was playing as D-Luke and I was like, this dude looks sick. Like he's like a fan out of Tales of Symphonia or something like that. So I was just in from the get-go. It was kind of this revolutionary style of game that had all my loves in one. And as we can see, I think a lot of people have a lot of those similar interests given how successful the game has been. So yeah, dream come true to be a part of it too.
That's amazing.
When you first started playing, who was your favorite character? Well, I know you liked D-Luke, but as you progressed, did anyone win your heart over besides him?
So, all right, because that's like a two-parter for me in a way, because there were the people that I played or the characters I played, and then there's the characters I liked. I really enjoyed playing as Klee. Basically, right at the start, I just thought it was chaos and, you know, just doing charged attacks and throwing these little, you know, bomb balls everywhere. I really enjoyed Klee. And then Child quickly became like one of my favorite characters. He was like one of the first multiple constellation five-star characters I got. So I was like, okay, you know, most constellations clearly should invest in him. Cool design, great voice actor who happened to be one of my co-stars in another game. So I was kind of all in on the Tartaglia train. So I really enjoyed those two. And I really liked like Chi-Chi, and I actually liked Albedo as well.
Woo!
And I honestly thought it was a really nice combination of all these various characters. I could find something in each character that I really liked. And I also really liked Venti. I like at the time, I remember if you didn't have Venti, you know, exploration was nearly impossible. And that was, I think, one of the actual first five stars I got. And I was like, yes, I can jump up in the air a little bit and not have to run around all the time. So that was really cool too.
Which character though did you like from a story standpoint opposed to playing?
I mean, Child's had a lot of really cool moments too. This character that just kind of comes out of nowhere. You think he's like a bad guy or is he a good guy? The whole Batui, I mean, which is kind of on brand for a character that I kind of get to play. Seeing the whole Fatui interaction with the game game and a character from a foreign land, basically. I really enjoy the anticipation when it comes to story and character, character specifically. And to see now how kind of full circle that's going with Fontaine has been really cool. And I think they did a really good job with Child. I really enjoyed Razor, too, just from a character's story perspective as well. I know we don't get a lot about him, and I like that mystique and the mystery of hearing about a character that was, you know, basically raised by the wolves and not really getting to know much more about that. So I like the mystery. I like kind of the intrigue about characters, which also, again, falls in line with a little bit about my character. I think there's a lot of mystique and intrigue and backstory that we yearn for. So I really enjoy that in storytelling. And Genshin does that great with their character.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, they really have given Child a very interesting journey. I know Amanda has been Team Child since the beginning.
Since day one.
He's getting his redemption arc, guys. It's slowly happening.
It's very slowly happening.
We've been talking about that redemption arc since the first episode, I think.
I'm here for it.
Thank you. Remine will help him.
Yeah, I mean, I already went searching for him and nearly died for it. Yeah. So, you know, it's
that's exactly. Commitment.
Remine is the first ride or die we have in this game.
So true. So true. For the House of the Hearth, you know.
Do you still enjoy Chi-Chi, or have you been Chi-Chi'd so many times that you now can't stand the sight of her like so many people?
I think I have a C2 Chi-Chi, so she definitely, you know what? I mean, I've won a lot of my 50-50s, I gotta say.
Oh, wow.
I have won a lot of 50-50s, so I still enjoy Chi-Chi. I remember, like, when I got Chi-Chi, I didn't, you know, this was before all the YouTubers and content creators were really out there. And here's a little fun fact. When this game first came out, when Genshin first came out, I was making guides before I was ever cast in the game. I was doing.
Oh, that's awesome.
Wow.
I was doing TikTok guides. So that was how I kind of started, was doing like, here's the best route for getting crystal flies, because, you know, there was no efficient way of doing that at the time.
And oh my God, we would have been sharing your TikToks to our entire friend group.
So it's possible maybe you came across it, you don't remember it. I mean, it's so funny to see that come full circle. But yeah, Chi-Chi, I still think is great. I think she's very similar in style character to Fremenet from a character perspective. And gameplay-wise, I think if you do co-op with Chi-Chi, it's fantastic. It's real fun.
She's the cutest. We have a little thing we like to call the Chi-Chi shuffle, which is just, if you're on, like, PC, just quickly tapping that W. Like, just
quickly. Yeah, I do it all too often.
Oh, it's so odd. It's just makes my day.
You've been a little bit of a Genshin nerd from the get-go. You must have been so ecstatic to get cast and become a part of that whole franchise.
Yes, it was. I've spoken about this kind of before, but, you know, as an actor, we, especially when you're doing it for a while, doing it to the volume that I have been, you know, without breaking my NDAs here, but it's logical that if I auditioned for Fremenet, I probably auditioned for other characters hypothetically. So I've been involved theoretically in auditioning many times, and I kind of, if that were the case, I would have been like, all right, this isn't happening. It's been, you know, 3 years at this point. So if opportunities came around, I'd be excited. And I loved playing the game. I took a break at a point in time because it was getting a little unhealthy, my addiction for the game.
I think we've all been there.
Yeah, I needed to touch grass. So I did that for a little bit. And then this was a wonderful way to get back in and fall in love and catch up and get immersed in the story again. So really dream come true, truly. I started playing the game with one of my cousins, and we would re-roll our accounts and speed run to get to like the certain amount of wishes that you could get. So you could, like, I don't know, maybe it was like 30 or 40 wishes after you did like the story up to like AR-15 or something like that. And we would keep remaking accounts until we got the best 5-star that we wanted on our first like goal. So we went deep, and it's
cool. Awesome.
So I've been in there, you know, my ID number is one of the original ones too.
It's 0.
Somewhere rather. Yeah. So it's just, it's crazy. It's surreal as a fan of the game, and to be a voice in it, it is a dream come true. It's a dream come true.
I was asked how the recording process is like for you. How much freedom are you given when voicing Fremenet?
Great question. And I think it's probably different for everybody in terms of their experience recording. When I went in to record for Fremenae, everything was codenamed. So I didn't even know if it was a playable character yet.
Oh, really?
So, you know, you get a batch of characters and then you read for a bunch. And then theoretically, there's some NPCs or something else in those batches. So I knew it was Genshin because it's the same studio and everything. And I'd been auditioning for a while. And then I went in and then they told me about it. One of the directors, Chris Failia, he is a phenomenal director. And we spent like a good first half of the session just talking about his character and talking about his involvement in the story and with his siblings and the House of the Hearth and all of that. We just kind of talked about it, and I got to really fine-tune choices that I thought I would have made, and then also kind of abandon certain ones that I thought I might have too. And then you're also given a reference of the Chinese as well. But the cool thing I think about my take on the character is, in the other languages, I think everybody has their unique version of Fremenae, and they all work. I think mine, in contrast, because in the Chinese, the same actor plays Linny and Fremenae. So there's similarities in their brightness and their tone. Mine really comes down to, like, I feel like I'm much more of a deeper toned, still being young, but I feel like my tones and my resonance is much deeper when you compare it to like Linny or the other male characters in the game.
Yeah.
So I was so happy I got to make that choice, because to see that variance of type of people, type of characters that people can resonate with, that's what rang true for me. And I think it works well for the character. And I like that he stands out in that way.
I think we would all agree. Yeah, it's amazing.
Oh, thank you guys. You're too kind already. My gosh.
The difference in tone, it really adds a lot to the atmosphere. Like, it really does a lot to sort of drive home that feeling that they are really different characters.
And that cadence.
Yeah. And this, for sure, his cadence, and sorry to cut you off, but the siblings in general, all, I think they take a very unique emotional and personality separance, and they complement each other beautifully. So I really enjoy that I kind of got to go into that introverted, fearful, shy direction and not try and have to match something like a Linny or go full introspective or caring less for humans than animals like Lynette to a certain degree. So it's fun.
The personality that you've given Fremenae worked so well for the Thelxi storyline too.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine Thelxi as with a bright, cheery Fremenae.
Yeah, we have to talk about the Thelxi storyline. That was one of the darkest moments of this game so far. We all thought it was handled so beautifully, and I was just wondering like what the reaction has been like on your side of it.
Yeah, thank you guys. It was a kind of, I didn't really know what the context of that story was when we started recording it. You know, they tell you like, oh, this is for this certain thing. As far as I'm concerned, that's just like an event that everybody's involved in. I didn't know it was like a Fremenae exclusive event until we got a little deeper into the recording. And I was like, huh, this is kind of, at first I was like, huh, this is interesting. They're using a storybook to help with this person dealing with the, like, it was just confusing a bit to me until I started to put together the pieces of like, oh, this is showing so much of Fremenae's personality and how he's dealt with his life, obviously using this experience that another character and their child is using, to see the parallels between how Fremenae and Madame, gosh, the name is escaping me at this time.
We don't know the name off the top of our head either. Do not.
The Madame, we'll go with. So to see that the comparison between those two characters and the way they're dealing with this, it was really cool to dive into that deeply emotional, personal thing for a lot of people that we haven't experienced yet in Genshin Impact. And we've had wonderful events throughout the 4 years or whatever it has been of this game. But to take something that's a really serious, almost something you wouldn't imagine a game like this tackling, and to do it in such a tasteful way, to bring awareness to grief, to bring awareness to loss and dealing with these larger than life problems that unfortunately many of us do experience at younger ages.
Yeah.
for a character like Fremenet to experience that and figure out a way to move on and to carry on and to bring light to people's lives. It was so beautifully done. It was so cool. And to see the seriousness that Fremenet treated something so fantastical with was really beautiful. And I'm you know, there's a line that, you know, I hope that everybody who's experienced, you know, who's gone through something rough gets to experience a miracle for themselves. It's such a beautiful line. And I think a lot of people resonated with that. I got a lot of really beautiful letters too, and I'm just grateful to be a part of something that's really cool. I just wish that everyone could do it still, even if they joined today.
Mahoyo, bring back the playback button.
If anybody who did miss it, who's listening too, Paul actually has up on his YouTube a VOD from playing through it, which is I think was more emotional the second time than when I played it the first time. And you know, just even hearing you like with that line specifically, like taking the moment and really to everybody who was watching you at the time too, like, you know, your personal experience along with it was, it even made it more giving, just emotional and just so beautiful.
Thank you.
So thank you for sharing that kind of side of yourself too. Like that's really awesome.
Oh, my pleasure. I mean, I think a lot of actors get into this business because we want to be a vessel of truth, to talk about things that we've experienced in our lives or people we know, and to be an artistic storyteller requires you tackling those hard moments. Growing up, I was always a very emotional kid, and it was important to me to embrace that side of myself. So to get a gift like this with this character is so serendipitous for kind of my life journey and for my own emotional healing through my own problems and trauma and things. So to share that with people who have had similar experiences in their life, I proudly and gladly will be that ambassador for things of that nature.
Thank you for helping us heal our inner child.
Yeah.
There's also this whole other layer to that storyline that made Fremenet the perfect character to take on the role he did, because, and we didn't, I don't think we realized this until we did our episode on the siblings, Lenny, Lynette, and Fremenet, and we dug deeper into the lore on Fremenet, and lore in this game is so rich that you're always discovering new things, no matter how much you've already read. And we discovered this whole backstory that is, you know, in text only within the game, that is about Fremenet's mother and how Fremenet was basically taken from her in a way, like she had to basically give him over to the House of the Hearth because of some creditors that were coming after her. And apparently in Fontaine, there are predators that just kidnap people and, you know, human traffic them. But it was such a different level, like that made it even more meaningful to have Fremenet as this person who was taken away from his mother. And then it's implied that his mother, you know, ended up passing away before he could ever reunite with her.
Right.
And for him to be helping this grieving mother who loses her son was so meaningful. So I just love that they go so deep on the writing that everything can have this whole other layer that you might not even be aware of while you're playing it.
Right. It does. And I think that's what's great about people who get very invested in the lore and who share that information, because a lot of times you miss these things and it's not apparent right away. But it's what makes a game like this kind of an epic in the way that a lot of the famous fantasy novels have been, where that every time you read through it again, you find these other hidden meanings, or you see the connection between something you read maybe early on to reading later, or a very long series, you know, something like a Game of Thrones per se. I think that to really kind of get a glimpse into the writer's minds on why they made these choices and to see certain things that may or may not have been lining up or inspire them to do that, it's really cool. I'm always blown away by the choices they make, like the way to express those certain things. Like somebody thought like, oh, let's make another toy penguin and have him go on this, you know, fantastical journey with somebody else experiencing grief. Like, you know, kudos to these writers making it fun, unique, and also really dedicating the importance of the severity of the topics they're talking about. So, you know, just kudos to the writing. It's great to be a part of it.
So then we have one more question about Fremenet. We're going to ask you some other questions after that.
Okay.
What hopes do you have for Fremenet moving forward? Is there anything you'd really like to see come out of his character arc?
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see, I think in general, I would love to get to know more about him. And you talked about his backstory a little bit in the House of the Hearth. And I would love to see more about how he is the way he is or why he is the way he is. I would love to see him interact with more characters. I would love to. I thought it was so cute putting him with Charlotte
in the Archon quest.
You know, they were so smart in doing that. And I would love to see that relationship flesh out. And I would just like to see him have to make some hard choices, because I think Linny and Lynette, they have their acts and the act and their performance. And I know we've talked about her in the game. They talk about Fremenae being the next assistant and stuff. So that would also be cool too. But to see there is a little bit of isolation that Fremenae has. And we got to see that with him even in the trial. You know, he was tasked with going and finding that slab. And even with him looking for Child, to see more of his independence grow and maybe grow into his trust of other people outside of his family circle, his immediate circle.
I hope that Charlotte gets Fremenae to go to a party. That's my goal. To go out, like, clubbing.
They go to a rave? Yeah, I'm down.
Yeah, he should be brought over to the next Mondstadt Festival.
Oh,
yeah.
That'd be great.
Yes. That or the summer event.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yes. A Fremenae summer event.
Yeah. They should just put him in everything. I joke that he's I joke that he's the physical Archon. So, you know, he should get his own Archon storyline.
I mean, think of how many, you know, discoveries are just waiting for him to find them by diving at the Golden Apple Archipelago.
Yeah. See? Got to get the writers to listen to this podcast.
You might quite literally find skeletons down there.
That'd be a lot.
Facts.
A lot of hilly turtles. R.I.P.
But we talked a lot about Genshin, but Fremenae isn't the only role you've played. You've done a lot besides Genshin, like Persona 3, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, Cookie Run Kingdom, Fire Emblem, Pokemon Paladin Wins, The Skeleton Twins, Knives, Law & Order SVU, The Rookie, the list just goes on and on and on. Of those roles, do you have one that really sticks out as your favorite?
It's been a very lucky career, I will say that. I mean, it is a lot of luck, but it also is a lot of hard work. The only thing I really can attribute to any of my success has been kind of like an undying passion to work and tell stories. So there's been a lot of rejection. While there's been a lot of things that I've gotten, there's also been 10 times more, 20, 30, 40 times more, 50 times more things that I've gotten no's for. So a lot of perseverance, a lot of hard work, and to pick a favorite thing, they all have their unique, I know that's kind of the cheating answer, like I can't pick one of my, you know, my children, in so to speak, but one I like to talk about a lot is I did this game called Neo The World Ends With You, and I play the main character, and it's another Square Enix game, and it was like the first big video game role I got to do. It was surrounding a franchise I already knew. It was such a beautifully written story. I had a great character, and it was the first time I really got to go the full circle. You know, a lot of times you get a character, and even in Genshin Impact to a certain degree, we're all serving a larger story. This game was really centered around my character, so I got to kind of go full circle, and you don't really get that opportunity a lot. So that was a very unique experience that tested me as an actor, tested me as a person, and it's kind of like a cult following type of game. So to have a community that loves it in such a niche way has been really beautiful as well.
From the list that Fiends went through too, a lot of that you've also done. You've done acting, producing, directing, voice acting, live acting. Do you have any part of that kind of you brought into your Genshin character, your previous experience or anything like that?
Sure. I think one of my superpowers, I will say, or however you want to call it, something that makes me stand out, I think, sometimes, is I approach every voice acting gig as much as I can, unless there's something that's wildly outside the box that calls for a caricature or something larger than life. I really try to approach most jobs if I were doing something for TV and film or even theater. And I treat these roles preparation-wise in the same way to the extent that I can or I should. Sometimes you don't get a lot of information. Sometimes it's more harm than good to over-prepare, you know, to really lock into a night choice. And then the director's like, no, we're doing this, actually. And you're like, oh, no. Which I've had happen. I've went into a session and sometimes they don't tell you the character you've booked. And I was totally preparing for another character that I thought I booked. out of this like packet of characters. And then it was completely different. And I was like, oh gosh, I don't even know where to begin. So sometimes being a little bit more free and open is helpful, but I also try to humanize and make the character as three-dimensional and realistic as possible, even if they're in a fantastical world, because I think video games are asking for that right now. I think that's where the bar is at, making something that is cinematic, even if it is a video game, making it that's something that you're inspired by, the acting, and you can relate to and you can humanize it. So I think that is one of my strengths, is having my experience being all around the industry to prioritize the story and the humanity of the character first.
Is Genshin directed differently from other games? Because I just had questions about the actual process. Like, is there one director for the English cast? Are there multiple ones? Like, how does that all work?
There are multiple directors. Brooke Chalmers and Chris Fellier, the two that I have worked with. There may be more, but they are definitely two of the main ones. And I've definitely kind of been like mid-session of something and then had a director switch. So I think it really comes down to the producers or the localizers really trusting the directors to digest the information and having good instincts. So that way, if you pick up mid-session, you can reference what's been done already and the director can say, okay, I see which way this other director may have been leading them. Let's continue down that path. Because I think directors will obviously have a subjective point of view, but to stay consistent is a very good skill. And I think that the directors in Genshin should have that. And I think they take, especially Chris, who I've worked with mostly, he really takes the time to question the localizers who have kind of the Bible information and understand what's happening. Because, you know, as an actor in voice acting, you're not looking at a picture, you're not looking at the game as it's happening, you're looking at an Excel spreadsheet. So you may have the lines surrounding your character, but that's a lot of information to digest with all of the story that Genshin has. So Chris does a really good job of being like, okay, what's happening here? What happened beforehand? Why are they saying this like this? And it kind of preemptively answers questions that I would have naturally as an actor.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
They do a lot of the heavy lifting for us.
That is so cool. I was wondering about that because even like with the consistency thing, like how... How do they keep you all the voice actors pronouncing names consistently? That must be its own job.
It is. I've definitely worked on projects where I remember I worked on this one project and there was a list of names that were based on something. And I remember I got in and I said the thing the first and like, no, you're saying it like this. I'm like, I actually think it's said like this. And they're like, wait, what is that? Is that something that exists? I'm like, yeah, I think this exists in this nature. And they're like, oh, crud, we got to go re-record for everybody.
Right.
A lot of times, most studios, and thankfully with Genshin, they always have, usually, I mean, I in my experience, it's been almost every time, if not every time, a representative from the localizing team to be backup in case you are saying something wrong or their director doesn't know. But a lot of times they provide pronunciation libraries so you can always reference something.
Oh, cool.
Like here is like Liyue, you know, they'll be like, okay, can we pull that file up? And all right, this is how you pronounce it.
Right.
So, you know, they try to do that as consistently as possible, but it's a massive game. I'm sure things have slipped through the cracks at points in time, but you know, they do their best.
Oh yeah. There was the Albedo incident.
Albedo, yes. Everyone calls him Albedo in their character lines.
Albedo. Maybe that's the way the character won. Maybe it was a purposeful tactic on the character.
Yeah. Koi requested it.
There you go. Sounds like something he would request, right?
Is there one that actually trips you up the most?
Oh,
like you said, Liyue, perfect. And I can't. I Liyue just comes out the most American accent that you possibly cannot say it the right way.
You know, there was something when we were recording, and I can't remember what it is, but I remember having to say it like a bunch of times. It's escaping me now, but I remember like Bumo, like there's Bumo Workshop. That was one I definitely, you know, to make sure you're saying it a certain way. In the cooking event that happened, or the Liyue, what was the one that just the...
like friends, like cooking with friends or dinner with friends.
Yeah, there was something in there too that had an interesting pronunciation. I can't remember what it was, but I remember there being conversations of like, are we pronouncing this right? Is everyone pronouncing this right? I'm like, I don't know if I'm doing it. So
we might need to borrow a member of the localizer team for this podcast because we're rough sometimes. AKA, I'm rough.
We make up our own names.
It's tough. I am notorious for having a hard time pronouncing certain things because I'm an actor that I don't really like to look at the scripts sometimes. So I'll not be looking at the script because oftentimes we'll do like three takes at a time. Mm-hmm. So by the second or third take, I'm like, I forgot what I'm even saying. I'll look at the script and it's spelt maybe an interesting way that you it's not phonetically pronounced. Like mm-hmm. if it's like, I don't know if it's spelt A-X-E-L, but it's actually the word is like Axilly or something. You know what I mean? I'll be like, mm-hmm. I forgot that already. So it's definitely one of my Achilles heels in the industry.
And when you're in recording, are you the only actor in?
Yeah, that's pretty common for video games nowadays. Pretty much you only get group records if you're the originating language that's recording the role, or if you're mm-hmm. doing like an animation. And again, you probably are the originating role, although they call that prelay when you're recording the acting before there's any picture. So very, very rarely, unless nowadays, are you getting prelay records. Even in games, like I remember there was like a little mini documentary on Final Fantasy 16, and I think they only had like two of the main characters together versus like, and they were doing prelay, you know, so they didn't even have the whole team. Also, it was tough with COVID, so that definitely put a damper mm-hmm. on a lot of that. And there's a lot more remote recording for people who don't live in the big cities. So that's a great thing, but it also kind of removes that element that I personally think it elevates the experience when you have the opportunity to act off another actor. I really enjoy that.
So our next round is definitely our personal questions. So Al, do you want to hop on with our next round of questions? You can go first, Al.
Absolutely, because I have high expectations for this question. What is your favorite species? The penguin. I need to know.
Oh, man, what a great question. I mean, there's so many.
It's the pear species.
It's, yes, it's the mechanical kind.
The Penguin Town penguins.
Man, they're all so amazing. I love all penguins equally. There's a part of me that wants to say like the emperor penguin, because that's kind of like the one that most people know. And it's kind of like a cool name. There is a name of penguin. I'm gonna butcher the pronunciation. It's like almost like platypus in a way, and they have like, they're like one of the only ones that has like an orange neck and stuff like that. And I really think that those are super cool and cute. And I do follow like ocean conservation and things like that, and protecting the ocean has always been a huge part of my life. I've always lived near, kind of to a certain extent. When I grew up in New York, I lived near the Atlantic Ocean, and now I live in California, the Pacific Ocean. I love surfing and things like that and doing beach cleanups. Yeah, penguins are so cute, and I feel bad for their habitats disappearing in certain areas. So
yeah.
But I do love me some penguins.
Penguins so cute. I'm pretty partial to the blue penguin myself from New Zealand.
The blue penguin, I know it. That's a cute one.
Right? Since you kind of already touched on it, I'm going to just jump in with my question then too.
Sure.
Since you grew up on the Jersey Shore and now you do live on the other coast.
Yep.
Do you find like you have some kind of kindred spirit because of that with Fremenay, you know, since you're over here in Jersey, which is, by the way, the best state in case you didn't realize, it's where I am.
Oh, you live in Jersey? Whereabouts? Not to you know, expose your locations, but what county are you in, maybe?
I'm in Bergen County. I can look at the Empire State Building from my living room.
Oh, okay.
I'm in Essex County. So.
Essex and Bergen. Yeah. Okay. I grew up
very different.
I grew up in Monmouth County. I mean, I grew up in Brooklyn for a while, and then my family moved to Monmouth County. But yeah, I love Jersey. It's like, I mean, I have a love-hate relationship with Jersey to a certain
degree. Yeah. I mean, I think that kind of...
There's a lot about it I love. There's a lot about it I didn't like. I wound up... I mean, there's so much about it I do love. I also really love New York, too. And I love that they're both so close to each other. That's still home for me, regardless for how long I'll be in L.A. and how I've been in L.A. Mm-hmm. I love that. But in terms of, there was another part of that question then. Sorry, I'm already escaping. I'm sorry.
With Fremenay being a diver and being so in love with the water and stuff like that, you kind of mentioned it with the conservation acts and stuff like that, of kind of feeling that kind of kindred spirit along with him.
Yeah. I mean, something I've always wanted to do, I've done One of my favorite places in the world is the Caribbean, and I love snorkeling, and I've done a lot of snuba, and I've been wanting to get my scuba diving license for so long. And then when this opportunity came, I was like, I need to get this done. So yeah. I've begun part of that journey of getting my scuba certification.
That's fantastic.
And there was a part of me at a point in time in my life that I thought, when I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do, I thought I would like work for Animal Planet as like a cinematographer. That was like something at a point in time that I thought I would do, and maybe do like ocean discovery and things like that, or, you know, venture the safari as well, maybe something to that nature. That was a dream at one point in time. I love animals so much. I got 5 animals in my home right now. I grew up with animals, and my similar passion for the ocean and keeping them clean and treating them with respect, the various oceans, is so important. It's like the largest muscle in this earth, in a way, you know, like everything functions from our water, and it's got so much vibrance in life, and we have to protect it. And I love that Fremenet has this part of him that really enjoys the peace that the ocean gives us. And I love sometimes just sitting underwater in Fontaine, listening to the music and listening to the sounds. I totally love that. I love that about Fontaine.
Yeah, some of the best music in the game, I think, is underwater in Fontaine.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It sounds like you inspired Fremenet's character.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. They consulted me. I got a consultation fee, and then we perfected it.
But what is snuba?
Oh, snuba is like snorkeling and scuba combined. So you have like a tank that follows you, and you have a mask on, but you don't have a tank on your back. It's like you like drag the tank with you. So you're limited with how far you can dive, but it allows you to stay underwater in almost like a snorkeling aspect. But you can go a little deeper than that. But I've done that many times in my life. It doesn't require a certification.
Oh, wow.
Heck yeah. Yeah.
I just want to laugh every time I hear this word snuba now.
It is a fun one. It is a fun one.
You mentioned a little bit about you were trying to pick your career of choice. And if we read correctly, we read you originally went to school for pre-med.
That is correct.
What changed that trajectory for you?
A horrible biology teacher.
I love it.
That's the honest answer I had. I was doing pre-med. I thought I wanted to, you know, make money and in a secure job, which, you know, is a great thing.
And then you went the opposite direction.
Exactly. And I have her to thank for it to a certain degree. I was talking about this recently with somebody. It was like, I have a buddy who's doing med school right now. And he was like, yeah, I'm doing a lot of like, I have to do like a lot of extra, you know, extra work, staying after class. And I was like, that's exactly what made me want to quit pre-med, because there would be so much information. I'd be doing like all these other classes that I'm like, you know, I'm not great at memorizing. And that's like a large portion of my biology and all those things too. It's always a struggle, which is ironic to be an actor and have to memorize all this stuff. Not great at it. So she would not let me do like stay for extra time and extra help. And I'm like, how am I supposed, I don't learn at the same speed in the way you're teaching. So I was like, screw this. I went to criminal justice and poli sci for a quarter semester or whatever it is, a fraction. And then I switched in my second year to communications and theater double major before I transferred to another school.
Wow. It sounds like a Sumeru sage. You know. Sadly, there's so many people like that in academia.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I think, you know, having a good teacher is really important. And I've had a lot of great teachers in my life. Obviously, in studying acting, you get a lot of great teachers and mentors. But I feel bad. I mean, obviously, a lot of teachers are extremely underpaid. But the influence that a teacher can have on someone is so profound. It's, you know, you get a good one, you got to make sure you tell them that they're great.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, we are glad she steered you away.
Yep, all thanks to her. Oh, man.
Okay, if Paul Castro Jr., the person, was a Genshin character, could not be Fremenet, some other Genshin character, let's say it's like one that doesn't exist yet, what would be your element and your weapon type?
Oh, boy, you know, I've gotten a similar question like that, but absolutely, you've taken it to the next level. That makes it a great question. So that's a great question. I think, I mean, as we're sitting here chatting, and if you've seen me stream or anything like that, I am kind of like, there's obviously a huge part of me that is very much like Fremenet. You know, when I'm in my isolation and or if I've had an extreme amount of overstimulus, I think those parts of me are so true. And that comes out in how Fremenet is. But I think in my day to day, I do have a very large amount of enthusiasm and energy that is different than Fremenet in certain regards. So my partner, she always says, you know, I'm an Aries. It's my birth sign, and that's a fire sign. So she's always saying like, oh, you're such a fire sign. You're such a fire sign. So I'd have to probably say be a fire sign. And now a weapon, man. Oh gosh.
Are you like scrappier, a little faster?
I think I'm scrappier, but there's no like dagger. So I guess it would have to be like a sword maybe, right?
Yeah. Unless you're going Hazo style, like catalyst where you're just using your hands or something.
Either one of those would be good. I guess there's Klee. Yeah. Pyro catalyst, right?
You want to be Klee? Like you said earlier, you love the chaos.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's right. Yep. I think I'd be like a little chaotic, fiery Naruto of energy, like an Ito, but fire and crazier and just blowing stuff up all over the place.
Someone get the writers on the phone again.
So we just have to warn Gene. We'll be like, watch out. There might be some more fish bombing.
I love it.
And you can always design the catalyst in such a specific way. We've gotten so, I mean, as someone who religiously pulls on the weapon banner, even though I think it's a scam, there's so many interesting weapons coming out. Like we have Navia's Claymore. That's a halberd. Like you could have a catalyst that is a full-on double dagger and just be,
dude,
just like how Child has his double swords. You could have the exact same thing, but catalyst style.
Oh, that'd be cool. Yeah.
That would be so cool. You've just designed the next best Genshin character.
Thank you for the help. So this is my self-indulgent question. I'm a really big fan of The Rookie. And you were on a really spicy episode of The Rookie as paralegal Kellen Myers. What was it like to be on The Rookie set?
Yeah, man, that was a cool one because I had just moved from New York to LA, and like my sister loves all those type of procedural crime shows and things like that. So that was a show that I know was doing very well and people really liked. And I got to play a really scrummy guy who does some unsavory things, and to get caught for it was cool. We shot it all on a soundstage, and you know, you get to basically walk into like you walk from on those sound stages. I think that was Warner Brothers, if I'm remembering correctly. You know, you walk into one room and it's a cafeteria. The next room is an interrogation room. The next room is a police station. The next room is a garage. Like it is, you know. So that was a first time experiencing that to that degree. And they were all great. That was a cool little thing. I got to have a nice little moment there and do kind of like that bucket list interrogation thing. Cause I had done an episode of Law and Order, but my character got cut. So that was like my Law and Order moment.
They put Fremenet in the corner in that episode.
Exactly.
I was trying to figure out where you were in that episode, because that's one of my favorite episodes too. And I was like, I don't remember seeing him in there.
In the Law and Order episode?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, oh gosh, can I remember now? There was a character, I believe the episode was called Transgender Bridge, and these characters bully this character who's transitioning, or they've already transitioned. It's been a while since I've seen it. My character was one of those characters who was saying a remark that isn't part of the main group, but definitely an unsavory remark to one of the main characters who the episode is the basis of. So I play like a little shitty guy. I think maybe they were like, we have enough of this. We've got the point across. We don't need Paul.
You're like, but this is my big villain moment.
Yeah. So that was cool though, to work on Law and Order and get that opportunity. And
yeah.
Oh yeah.
Speaking of New York too, were you still living on the East Coast when you filmed Skeleton Twins?
I booked that. So funny story for here. I remember it so vividly because when I was in conservatory for acting, where it's like instead of regular classes, when you go to conservatory, it's like you're in acting school for 6 hours of the day. But in NYU, you would do 3 days conservatory, 2 days academic. And through conservatory, they were like very adamant against you auditioning while you were in school. But me, I'm a notorious rule breaker. And in between like breaks between like the 30 minutes you'd have in between class, I would longboard from my studio to the casting office, beg them to see me immediately, and then leave and make it in time for my next class. I would do that all too many times. And I remember I was in class, I had auditioned for Skeleton Twins. And I remember I was like, my agent spam calling me, asking me like, or like I'm in class. I'm like, I tell my teacher, I'm like, I have to go and answer this phone call. They're like, no. I was like, I think something happened at my home. I need to answer this phone call. And so I had to use that excuse. I go and my agent's like, are you available these dates? They're trying to book this, blah, 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 blah. Bill Hader, Kristen Wiig, Ty Burrell in this movie. I was like, I don't know what they are. Yes, just say yes. I'm there. And I wound up having to miss a bit of school for it. But, it was kind of surreal to work with those type of actors for the first time on that level. And that was like the start of things, realizing like, oh, this is possible. Like I can do something here. That was like the first big thing I had gotten in my career.
And that's so cool that you got to be face to face right off the bat too with such big wigs.
Yeah,
in the industry.
Yeah, no pun intended.
I want you all to know I was laughing. I was like, oh, it's such a Sino right there.
Listen, yeah, I know Sino haunts the podcast.
Yes. He's been taking over me.
I love it. I'm a corny joke, dad joke kind of guy too, so I'm all about it.
I'm from Rockland, so that being filmed in Nyack was so cool for me too. So
Yeah, I've shot a couple of things up in that area, but that was super cool. I got to spend some time with Bill Hader and Ty Burrell. They were so kind to me, you know, as a young actor starting out and being terrified. And I remember those conversations like it was yesterday. That's how impactful it was, you know, almost 10 years ago, I think, at this point, since I did that, which is crazy.
That is amazing. Time flies too fast.
Oh, it does. Oh, it does.
Oh, can we play Adopt That Orphan?
Oh, Adopt That Orphan, yes!
So, Paul, as you know, there are many orphans in Genshin Impact. And we thought we could just do a fun little, just a quick round robin. And the rules are, we're pretending that Arlecchino, Linny, and Lynette are not in the picture.
Okay.
You have to choose two existing characters in Genshin to adopt Fremenet and be his family.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
So we can all go first to give you some time to think.
Great.
So
yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to say Kokomi and Goro. That's because we know she also loves to dive.
Mm.
So she enjoys diving and like getting away. She's very introverted, just like Fremenet. So I feel like he would feel very at home with her. And, you know, it makes sense because you would have Goro sort of leading the greater army of Watatsumi and everything. But then Fremenet could be like, you know, special agent for Kokomi's forces.
Yeah.
Who, like, goes out on solo missions and is like operating under the radar.
I love it.
So I'll let the rest of y'all go, whoever wants to go next.
All right. I'm going to say Risley and Clarin,
Ooh.
Which normally I'm more of a Risley newbie shipper myself, but I think the two of them would fit his personality pretty well and they would be able to understand him and he would just mesh and he wouldn't have to leave Fontaine, which would be nice. So he could still search for his mom in, you know, before he finds
that's
out
nice.
About her untimely ending.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Diluc and Kaya. Because I think Fremenet needs some of it. He needs Kaya to like bring him out of his shell and Diluc to kind of ground him a bit more. And then he would get into so much hijinks as kids.
Yeah. And he could be in Diluc's spy network.
Yeah.
He switches the siblings that he's a part of. He's like, now I have two brothers.
I was going to give him on over to the Adepti and have Cloud Retainer kind of take him under her wing since she's doing pretty good with Shenhe and, you know, Yao Yao's doing well. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of them. Ghani, they're all good.
That's so funny, Tiff, because I almost said that one because, you know, doesn't Cloud Retainer like to make contraptions?
Yeah.
So they could be like crafters together.
Yeah. Right. She would be really jealous of his, though, you know?
Yeah.
Mm. She like stab pairs.
Yeah.
She's like, this doesn't exist.
Like, this is better than mine.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You guys, that's all of you, right? I'm up
here. Yeah, you're good.
You guys had all such good answers, and I think you guys stole every single one I would have said along the way, but I won't be corny and give you a non-answer, but I will give you a hysterical answer, and I'll pick Raiden Shogun and Zhang Li so they can indoctrinate him into the Archon lifestyle.
Yes! And
give him a little bit of chill and also some really hardcore combat skills at the same time. So
right.
Prepare him for his life as an Archon.
Hopefully Raiden does better with a kid this time.
Yes, exactly.
True. Oh man. Okay.
He is just like, I don't understand. Why can't you breathe underwater? Like, right. I'm not a puppet. I'm not a puppet, A.
But Clarin was a great, I think that's a very logical one too. Like Clarin and Chevres, like two military personnel to get him prepared for that type of stuff too, I think would be really cool.
I do love the idea though of Zhang Li being like, listen, you've already met Child. That's where the money comes from. We're broke. He gives it to us. We'll get some.
I love it. Oh man. Kokomi was a great one too. That's obviously very logical as well. Another lover of the water.
Yeah, I would love, you know, the two introverts hanging out together, being there for each other.
I would love to see that interaction. Yeah.
The next year Dory Festival.
Ooh, yeah.
Remine swims there.
We're gonna make up our own content.
If they let us make up our own events, the whole game would be so screwed.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay, here's a fun question I'm gonna ask you guys. If could create an event with Remine, what would the event be?
Ooh.
The first thing that came to my head was like an ice cream social. I don't know why.
I was gonna say, so it would need to be something fun where it's like him trying to break out of his shell a little bit.
Yeah, like Charlotte is working with like Linny and Lynette to like throw some sort of party where he's forced mingle with people and make friends, and we kind of meet new guests every day while we celebrate Fremenet becoming a social butterfly.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I went straight hardcore for like, we're going to have a full-on Olympic-style swim meet in everyone. As someone who did, not professional swimming, but like I've done a lot of meets in my time, and just thinking of Kokomi, Fremine, we'll throw Ito in there because why not? Yeah. And like a bunch of swimmers just going ham and seeing who can swim from Liyue all the way to Inazuma the fastest.
No.
They've never done a swimming event, right? They've never really done something in that way.
Mm-mm. They talk about swimming all the time, though.
Right?
Dude, that'd be sick.
Yeah. Everyone's like exhausted from swimming, and then you just see Fremine walking calmly along the bottom of the ocean.
You take that path that you could find, like that Fiends did, where you can kind of walk your way all the way from Inazuma to Mondstadt.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I broke the game.
Oh.
Yeah. I found this glitch on TikTok and I went under the water and I walked to the bottom of the sea. But as Albedo, Fremenet wasn't around yet. So
we may have to redo that, see if it's still available. Put Fremenet down there.
The next viral TikTok right there.
I just sort of agree with you. Like, I think it would need to be something fun where he's coming out of his shell a little bit. And it could actually make it really poignant if they made it where he had been like reflecting on the whole, you know, Thelxia storyline and was like, I'm so fortunate. Let me try to break out of my shell. Maybe I can help other people before it's too late. I think that would be really nice.
Yeah, I love that. That's a great one too. Yeah, I think, listen, the possibilities are endless, you know. That's the sign of a great character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, my first thought actually went to like a seashell collecting type of event where like, you know, you'd have to go actually explore more. Because I feel like it's one thing that Genshin even did with Fontaine coming out was they really tried to get you down there. They're like, don't be afraid. You could do it. Just swim. And it, you know, would work in that kind of a way. Be Fremenet kind of showing you around and making sure that you go visit everybody and go see Barry Puffier, who's now out of his little sick jail.
I love it. You guys got great ideas. My idea now is to do like do you guys remember the TV show back in the day? It was called BattleBots. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
We love BattleBots.
Dude, they should do like a BattleBots where you customize your like pair or whatever your other mechanical little machine is, and they have to go like toe to toe with other mechanical machines, like a Bennett and Fremenet battle bots.
Oh, that would be so awesome.
Hair bots. Let's go.
Sort of like the mushroom event.
Yeah, like the Pokemon type of thing. Yeah. Yeah. I'll have to let them know next time. I thought a great idea. You got to pass it down the pipeline.
Right.
But thank you, Paul, so much for coming on and asking us a question. I don't think we were prepared.
That was perfect. That was fun.
Yeah, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
My pleasure. You guys are fantastic. I love people who kind of explore and digest and then discuss the lore for people. I find that so interesting. The game has such an expansive world and there's so much. You forget so much and there's so much intricacy to things. And I love theory crafting. I love the whole idea of speculating about what's going to happen too. So being a part of the game, I get a little bit of a leg up sometimes, but the things that I don't, I'm always sitting there in the same way trying to like dissect and figure out what's going on and the deeper meanings that the writers brilliantly put in this game. So I love it. You guys are very smart and you know a lot about this game. It's wonderful.
It's the one place in life where I truly feel smart. Sometimes. Then I pronounce something wrong.
And then you say the Fortress of Marmalade.
Yeah, I
can't. Makes us all very happy.
Listen, I have so many recurring terrible pronunciations. It'll forever be condensed raisins. Every single domain is emblem at this point because I can't pronounce Massachusetts Hunters. And so I'm with you.
I love it.
So, Paul, are there any special projects or upcoming events or anything that you're working on that you'd want to share with any travelers listening in?
Oh, well, in terms of things that are out, go play Persona 3 Reload.
Woo!
Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, that just
Woo!
Came out. Woo-hoo. There's things that are coming out. Or Cookie Run Kingdom, I play a character in the new event, Caramelian Cookie. Woo! Those are ongoing things that are happening. Obviously, Genshin Impact, make sure you guys are playing that. And then I'm doing some conventions. I'll post them on my social media. It's at Paul Castro Jr. everywhere you could possibly find me that I am. I have more conventions planned too, so there's possibility I'll be in somebody's area. If you're interested, check my social medias.
We got to get you to Comic-Con.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I hope you make it to New York Comic-Con.
Oh, that'd be amazing. I would love to. Yeah. That's either that or Anime NYC, one of those.
Yes.
I would love to get back.
Yeah, they just moved
east.
It to August.
Oh, perfect. So yeah, possibilities. Yeah, I would love to. I have more things coming that maybe will bring me there, but those are to be discussed when I can discuss them.
Yay, NDAs.
Yeah.
Well, Paul, thank you so, so much for being on the podcast today. We cannot tell you how excited we were when we got the email back that you were going to do it. We're like, lots of screaming.
Her excitement was so high, it went right over the
maxed
microphone.
Out the mic. Yeah.
Every time.
I love it. You guys are fantastic. Seriously, thank you for such wonderful questions and for having me on and for being fans. It's always a pleasure and a thrill. I love talking about this game. If I wasn't a part of the game, I'd probably be a part of your podcast right now.
You're always welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You guys are fantastic. Seriously, thank you.
I do think that's all the time we have for today, though. Thank you again, Paul, for coming on the podcast. Until next time, travelers, safe journeys. We'll see you next time.
Bye, Snooba nerds.
Not the Snooping.
I'm gonna snoop.
Definitely the Snooping.
Snoop.